Mary's song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple, the Issues, Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We employ this little bit of conventional wisdom here at Issues Etc. on a regular basis. We have guests that are both men and women. Now, we do not bring the women on to talk exclusively about quote-unquote women's issues, but we do often have a conversation where there's a subject that we need to discuss, something timely, and we'll say we'll need to get a woman to talk about that. It's an unwritten rule in the media that, as a rule, women speak more credibly on issues pertaining to women than men do. Is there something wrong with that assumption? Something wrong with that assumption. Joining us to talk about the danger of subjectivity, Adrienne Dorr-Hines. She's managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine, and she's author of a recent blog post titled The Danger of Subjectivity. Adrienne, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Why do you say this? As a woman, I don't have to hear another woman have an opinion on something to form one for myself. Why do you say that?
Well, I think there's a real danger in focusing only on a person's gender rather than focusing on whether or not they're the subject matter expert. I'm an editor of a magazine, and I am frequently told and receive letters to the editor that say, you know, this was a really great issue, but it's really too bad you didn't have a woman write for it. Or Pastor so-and-so wrote a great article, but as a woman, I just really would rather hear a female's perspective. If we want to put the best construction on that, I'm hopeful that people are saying, you know, this topic is good and I want to continue the discussion with more people. But unfortunately, what I usually hear is that we simply want to base our decisions and our perceptions and our opinions on people who are like us. And speaking as a woman, I know that for women that often means we want to hear from other women, not necessarily the person who may know the most about that topic or who has perhaps studied it the most. I think this is a sad and unfortunate result of feminism, honestly, and it's very ironic because the point of feminism was to say that women are equal with men. But this whole theory now that I hear from other women that they're the only ones that women can listen to subverts that whole idea. You know, it says that women and men are, in fact, not equals, that it's not only not good enough for a woman to be heard, she's supposed to be the only one who is heard and trusted at the expense of the male. So what I see and what I observe is that feminism theoretically taught one thing, and it's now actually doing the exact opposite of that, which makes very little sense and can be very frustrating for those of us who are more interested in getting to the truth than focusing on gender.
You say this is a form of subjectivity. How so?
I think there's an inherent danger in basing things on what we want to hear or what we think sounds right or maybe what we want the outcome to be when we base our decisions not on the person who's best qualified to tell us, but what will sort of scratch our itching ears. You know, I don't go to my pastors and say, I don't believe Jesus actually died for my sins, even though you tell me that every week, even though you're the one that went to school and studied the scriptures and the confessions, and you know them forwards and backwards. No, I'm waiting for a woman to tell me that because I'm a woman. I trust my pastor to deliver God's gifts to me because he's the person the Lord has put in my life, in my congregation, to oversee my spiritual care. Our Lord specifically chose men to do that. So if Jesus says to men, you are to be pastors, you are to be shepherds, then it's my joy and my duty and my privilege as a woman to respect them and to listen and to learn from them.
I've noticed it's a bit of a one-way street, too. You might hear women say, well, you know, that was a good subject, but it really would have meant more coming from a woman. But you don't often hear men saying that. You know, that was a great subject, but it would have meant more if coming from a man.
That is very true. You know, I had a gal ask me, I'm afraid as a woman that my voice won't be heard, because if I'm not doing the speaking, if a man speaks for me, he won't get it right. I think that this is probably an order of creation thing, that we as women are going to always want to grapple and to sort of fuss with the way in which our Lord sort of brings order to the chaos. Men are here to be the leaders. They're the ones that are to do the guiding and the protecting. The women is, you know, there to receive and to be a helpmeet. And we don't always like that. We want to subvert that order. So fundamentally, it probably gets at how our Lord intended things to be and our sinful desire to turn that on its end.
You say that, and you kind of have a little set of comparisons that you stepped near just a moment ago. You talk about your pastor. Comparison with your sister or your husband. Take us into that, if you would.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there are different vocations that the Lord has placed people into in this life, and the office of husband and father and pastor and all of those different holy callings that he puts people into determines how we listen to and how we learn from them. So faithful Christian marriages, congregations and pastors, the relationship between those two can be a really good example for us to follow in this regard, because, you know, by God's grace, the man or the pastor can speak on behalf of the woman, and her voice can still be heard and can still be intact. I think in marriage, this is a part of what it means to surrender yourself, to submit to your husband. You know, when my husband is making decisions as a farmer about what cows or tractor he's going to buy, we may talk about it. But ultimately, I trust him to go and to do what is best for our family. And I trust him to do that because he's the head of our family. And ultimately, it's what's best for me. He is the one that is responsible for me. So I think when we worry as women that our husbands or our pastors or our fathers or whomever the Lord has placed in our life in a sort of fourth commandment way, when we worry that they won't give a voice to our opinions and our thoughts, it's good to remember that that's the very reason that the Lord put them there, that he brought order to the chaos, that the person who speaks on behalf of the family or the congregation is the one to whom the Lord has given that role. And certainly men can abuse that, and they do, and that is a result of living in a sinful and an evil world. But we as women have the joy and the task of supporting them and encouraging them in that role of hearing us and then acting and speaking on our behalf and doing what's best for us.
Well, perhaps in that vein, that's something that I guess with a little age I've realized that there are times when I need a woman's perspective. It may not necessarily be that different than mine, but there is a difference in the way that women look at the world than men do. You can't generalize too much, but it's enough of a difference that it offers a different set of eyes on a problem often. And there are many times even around here where we will simply say, let's get a woman's perspective on this and see what she has to say. And often there are blind spots in the way that we look at the world as men that we need to have them filled in by the women in our lives. What are your thoughts there with about a minute here before we take our first break?
I think you're absolutely right. And at that point, it's incumbent upon the man or the pastor or who's in authority to go to the woman and to gather all of that information from their family or their spouse. That's what we're here for. That's what we love to do as women, is to be helpful. But it's incumbent upon the man to be willing to listen to that voice and then to act on it in a way that's best for his family or his congregation.
Adrian Dorr-Heinz is our guest. We're talking about the danger of subjectivity on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 25th. She's managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine and author of a recent blog post titled The Danger of Subjectivity. You'll find a link to both of those at our website. Click Listen on Demand when we come back 10 more minutes with her. And then we're going to be talking with Pastor Hal Sinkbeil about engaging our culture. There's a lot of talk about engaging the culture, and usually what it amounts to is capitulating to the culture, accommodating the culture, following the culture's lead. Well, the church and the culture are kind of stuck together. What do we need to know about both of those in order for us as Christians to engage the culture faithfully? We'll answer those questions with Pastor Hal Sinkbeil in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. 10 more minutes with Adrian Dorr-Heinz right after this.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, November the 25th, we're talking with Adrian Dorr-Heinz about the danger of subjectivity. A little bit later, Dr. Hal Sinkbeil will join us to talk about engaging the culture faithfully. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners can always use the Issues Etc. comment line 24-7, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Adrian, I'm wondering if this is kind of an extreme example of what we were talking about before the break. That is, women need to hear it from women in order for it to be true. There are, and this is not unusual to find Christian congregations where the congregation has essentially decided that in order to reach the women with the message, you got to have a woman pastor. There's a rather infamous church out on the West Coast. Her Church, I believe, is what it's called, and they've thoroughly embraced the feminist theology. To the point of, you know, they don't even think that women can relate to a male Jesus. Is that what we're talking about in its extreme form?
It can be, and it's immensely dangerous. I think that we get at this in a certain extent, maybe not to that extreme, but when we sort of toss our pastors and our professors of theology over to follow a female, someone like a Beth Moore, simply because she's a woman. I hear this a lot. I have a lot of women who say to me, I'm looking for a Bible study, but it needs to be written by a woman. Or I need a Bible study that I can lead because we want to do a Bible study where the pastor isn't involved. And I always voice my concern with that because it's not healthy and it's not good. At the end of the day, bad theology is bad theology. It is not made good or okay by the fact that the person saying it is the same gender as you. If we sort of take that to its logical conclusion, then we can't even listen to the Bible at all, because the Bible is all about Jesus. The Bible was written by men. I mean, if we take that all the way out, then we have problems with the very Word of God. On top of this, I think we run the danger of cutting our pastors out of our spiritual care. When we want to have a Bible study that's only led by women or only written by women, we reject their ability to care for us. I think we have a danger of letting bad theology slide in because we don't have a shepherd there to protect us from that. They can't protect us if they're not able to be there in the first place. You know, it's like going to the hospital and not letting your doctor diagnose you with pneumonia because you want patients in the waiting room to check your lungs out and see if they're filling with fluid. No, you go to your doctor because he is the one who is the expert. He is the one who has studied and shelled out the cash to be able to practice medicine. He's your doctor. So we need to be very aware, I think, as women, of our propensity to listen to and to learn only from women, especially when it comes to matters of theology and the faith. It's not to say that we can't have the mutual fellowship and consolation of other Christian women. We can, and that's a good thing. Women in the church have a really great opportunity to mentor and to teach and to come alongside other women who are struggling or who may need a friend. That's one area in which I think women in the church could definitely do a better job. That's part of our life together. We show mercy to each other. You know, we have deaconesses who help us in that regard. If you need a woman to go to talk about something a woman would understand, we have places and healthy ways to do that in the church. But at the end of the day, we as women don't operate apart from the body of Christ. Just like a men's group doesn't operate apart from it. We live, we have our life together in conjunction with, under the guidance and the shepherding of our pastor in our congregation, and together we are taught and comforted and cared for. And that can be a really awesome thing.
So even if Beth Moore weren't a false teacher, there would still be a concern about women in the congregation saying, well, we need a women's Bible study taught by a woman because, after all, we're women.
I think that yes, and especially when it's done apart from a pastor, which is what I generally hear, is that we're doing this because we don't want our pastor involved because he simply can't understand. And he may not be able to understand absolutely everything you're talking about, but at the end of the day, he's still your pastor, and our Lord has still put him there to care for you. And maybe he comes and leads a Bible study for a half an hour, and you spend a half an hour talking about babies and cooking and all the other fun things women enjoy. But we do ourselves a great disservice when we completely cut our shepherd, the one who is there to oversee and to help us grow in the faith, when we cut him out of the conversation altogether.
So you say this is about recognizing the proper relationship of all the vocations in our life. You say, look, when it comes to my pastor, I trust him in a unique way, different from the way I trust my sister or my mother or my husband. Explain that to us.
Yeah, we don't base things on gender. We base them on an order, on who is the expert, on who the Lord has put in that place to speak or to know about that specific thing. You know, as one who writes, as one who edits a magazine, I'm looking for the person who's best qualified to speak to that. If it's an article on deaconesses, sure, I'll go to my sister because she's a deaconess. She knows that. If it's an article about the spiritual care of souls, I'll go to my pastor because he's the one who does that day in and day out. So we base things not simply on a person's gender or because we think that because we're the same gender, they'll have something to say that will make us happy or that we want to hear. We base it on who can give us the truth with regard to the subject that we're talking about.
How do you respond to someone who says, well, it sounds like what you're saying, Adrian, is I'm just going to let my man do my thinking for me?
Well, I think that's probably a concern a lot of women have. And again, it goes back to the fact that it's not so much what women can or can't do, but what the man's role is. If you are in a marriage, if your husband isn't listening to you, if he's not letting your voice be heard, then that's something that you pray about and you repent of and you work toward. But at the end of the day, he's also your husband, and that is his job, to lead your family, to speak on your behalf. It doesn't mean that women have no voice and no vote and that they are simply wallflowers. It means that at the end of the day, the man is the one who is responsible, and the woman certainly has a conversation with him, and they share each other's thoughts and their opinions. But that the husband has the duty, based on how God ordered creation, to be the one who ultimately speaks on behalf of the family, but also what's best for the family.
It's kind of odd, though. I mean, a lot of the women in Christian congregations who would say we have to have a woman's Bible study taught by a woman because a man just can't communicate to or understand women. Those ladies, generally speaking, would not consider themselves feminists, but have they bought into one of the misconceptions propagated by feminism?
I think that they have, and I don't know that that they know it or that it's on purpose, but in a certain sense, I think that they do. I, on the other hand, would way rather sit in on a Bible study led by my pastor because I know that he is the one who has studied and who actually has delved into this topic and who knows the subject matter. It's fine to go and sit with my other female friends, some of whom are deaconesses and are immensely theologically astute. But at the end of the day, they are women just like me. They're lay people just like me. And it's not necessarily their job to teach and instruct me in the faith. So just as I look for people in my work who can best speak to things, I also encourage other women not to just simply base things on what we necessarily want to hear or people we think will understand us, but what the truth is and who actually can speak that truth to us.
You end by saying, so ladies, let's do our research, let's ask questions, let's get second opinions, then let's make up our minds. But when we do, let's base our beliefs and decisions on the qualifications of the person, not on his or her gender. What are you saying?
I'm saying at the end of the day, it's incumbent on both men and women to do their homework. It's important for we who are women to do our research, to do our homework, to talk to as many people as we need to talk to our husbands and to talk to our pastors. And at the end of the day, it's the job of the father or the husband or the pastor to hear what we've learned, to help guide us and to shape us, and then to communicate that on our behalf, alongside of us. So we don't just go off on our own. We don't operate apart from the rest of the body of Christ. We work together, and the Bible talks about that whole the body of Christ operating as one. And when we segment ourselves off, when we cut ourselves off, no matter what our gender might be, we do damage to that, and it's not helpful ultimately to anyone.
So how do we sort this out? I started out by saying you and I are kind of in similar positions in that sense that very often when we're having conversations about scheduling guests on the show, we'll say, well, this is something we probably have to have a woman speak on. Even when we're doing something as silly and trivial as Soundbite of the Week, we'll say, well, we need a woman's voice in there. We're trying to kind of, fly by the conventional wisdom. But how do we sort this out when we say, When do we say, yes, a woman needs to speak on this issue? Or in your case, a woman needs to write on this issue, not because a man couldn't, but because maybe her voice is going to be heard or received a little better. How do you sort that out?
Yeah, well, we choose women in that regard when they're the person who is most qualified to speak to the topic. You wouldn't have necessarily a man speaking on what it means to give birth or be a mother because he hasn't done either of those things. So my struggle that I have as an editor is when I get emails from people saying, well, gosh, it'd be nice if you'd have more women write. My first inclination is to say, well, who do I know that's a female that could write about topic X, Y, and Z? And then I have to constantly correct myself and say, it's not necessarily who I know or who could do it, but who will do it best? Who knows it best? Who has studied it best? Who's written about it most extensively? Who's trusted, a trusted expert on this? It's something I have to reel myself in because it's a lot easier to simply say, well, you're a female, so have an opinion on this, rather than saying, oh, I have to rein myself in and find the person who knows the most about it, regardless of their gender, who's best qualified to speak to the issue. So it is a constant temptation, I think, especially in the line of work that we have. But then that's the joy of getting to be in a congregation, in a church body, is that you make yourself available to and you get to know and learn from a wide variety of people so that when you do need a subject matter expert, male or female, you have them and you're of the same creed and, and confession, and you can trust what they have to say is good and true based on what they believe and your common shared confession.
How do we respond to someone who says, and we've heard this, and we will hear it in the coming years without a doubt, someone who says, look, on the big decisions in society, a male Supreme Court justice, he can't be objective. He can't really have the understanding necessary to make a decision about abortion since he can't carry and can't have a baby.
Right. And then this goes back again to him having to do the research and the homework, talking to women, reading about women, hearing from women before making his decision. It's something that's been lost in our society, again, as a result of a lot of different things. But it's hard work to do your homework. It's hard work to talk to a lot of people. It's hard work to reach beyond your group of peers, if it's male or female or people your own age or your friends. But that's the goal of an intelligent, informed, articulate writer or radio host, is that you go beyond what you want to hear or what you think you know, and you seek out people who may even disagree with you at times, but you get the whole picture. You get the objective, across-the-board look, and then you make your determination from there. There's a danger in wanting to stay within our own circles. For women, that's often other women. And it's helpful, and we learn a lot about life and this world and different subjects when we hear from other people. So for a male Supreme Court justice, you don't make the decision based solely on what your two other friends are saying, but it's incumbent upon you to reach out and to hear those stories, to look at all of the evidence, at all the facts presented to you, and then to make your decision based on those rather than on what your ears are itching to hear.
Why do we keep falling for it, Adrian? Why do we assume, you know, that gender will determine the truth rather than knowledge, learning, expertise, objective things?
Because it's easy and we're lazy. It's really easy to make an argument that I only need to listen to another woman because then I don't have to actually do the hard work of reading a variety of opinions. It's really easy to make an opinion based on what my three female friends have to say because they're accessible and they're probably saying something similar to what I already want to hear because they're my friends. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I think we're afraid of hard work. And we're afraid of having to dive in and having to learn and perhaps having to hear things we don't like to hear. But we may just learn something in the process. I think that's one of the things that my parents taught me that I appreciate the most, is that you look at a variety of opinions and you do the hard work on the front end so that when you do make an opinion, when you do voice a concern, when you do come to a conclusion, you can do it with a clean conscience, that you've done the hard work and the effort on the front side so that you can be okay with the decision you've come to on the other side. And that requires us to put forth effort, and we rarely like to do that.
You are the managing editor of the Lutheran Witness. What are you guys working on for the coming year?
You know, in January, we are going to be looking at Religious Freedom Day. Every year, the president labels January 6th as Religious Freedom Day, so we'll be looking at issues of marriage and life and religious liberty. And then in February, we're slated to talk about sexuality, everything from same-sex attraction to pornography to couples living together outside of marriage. So a couple of big issues coming off to start the year off with a bang.
Folks, you can find out more about the Lutheran Witness magazine under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask about the Lutheran Witness magazine. Adrian Dorheinz is managing editor of the Lutheran Witness and author of a recent blog post titled The Danger of Subjectivity. Adrian, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, we just received a report from our accountant today, Julie Johnson. With 5 weeks left in 2014, we're a little more than $82,000 short of expenses. That means between now and the end of the year, to make our expenses, we need $82,000. That's how the math works out. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. When we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of this hour with Pastor Hal St. Bile talking about how the church engages the culture faithfully.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at Grace Lutheran Racine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.